You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another very interesting episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob, and we certainly hope that it's interesting. I think it's a very interesting question, interesting thing to talk about. Interesting thing to consider all the options for. A lot of different ways that a person could go with something like this.
Well, I think Rob is talking about today's question, which is mentioning business decisions. Business decisions are not always easy, but there is a quote I want to read about business decisions. Here, Business Decisions, Napoleon Hill. If you haven't read this book, you probably should. It is called Think and Grow Rich. The quote again, "The great leaders of the world were men and women of quick decision. The suspense of indecision drives millions of people to failure. Imagination alone is not enough to ensure success. Millions of people have imagination and build plans that would easily bring them both fame and fortune, but those plans never reach the decision stage."
Yeah, put in another way, as we kind of live in the entrepreneurial world, there's a lot of really, really good ideas. But a good idea that's not executed is fantasy.
I would say this, after being a business owner for 10 years now, I would say that the successful people are simply the people that had the tenacity to put their damn head down and keep working. And even when people made fun of them for not going to social events and not networking and not doing this own thing, they put their head down, they built their business. And now everyone's like, I just find it so funny in our social world, right? Because, you know, people drag you down when they see you going up. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, haha, like he's working so hard, he doesn't have a life, or, you know, or he's working so hard, he's kind of let his health go down the tubes and blah, blah, blah. And then 3 or 5 years later, the person has a thriving million-dollar business. They're getting back in the gym to better themselves. And then everyone's like, oh, I'm so proud of you. You've done so well, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like your friends and the society around you just flips, you know, once they see like the success. And I give the example of just, you know, the other week when I said the drone you fly in, the conference was sold out. And everyone's like, wow, Paul's so successful, like blah, blah. And this is just my immediate friend group.
Sure.
And I really haven't, for those of you listening, I've spent more time with you guys than I have with them ever. And it's really because I don't have a big social life outside of work. And honestly, I enjoy what I do so much. I really don't give a damn. Like, I really don't care. It means a lot to Sarah. And that's why we continue doing social events. And I hang out with their friends. And we did that charity thing last night at Design by Wine. And it's cool. A lot of fun. But at the same time, this all circles back to this is a doer's economy. And you can know all the information in the world, but unless you act on it, it's worthless.
Absolutely. Now, the only thing I would add to that
I just want to leave the podcast with that. Just that
mic right drop. It'll break the mic. Don't do that. The only thing I'd add to that is you can incorporate a little bit of balance to your life. Like, you don't have to get fat and unhealthy because you're building a business.
Oh,
I know you're not saying that.
It's like,
it's kind of funny.
Here's five things. Choose three: success, working out, family, friends, or eating well. Like, it's hard to be good at everything in life. And honestly, the people who are very, very good at everything in life have people to help them and support them. Like, that's just the reality of the situation. It's just not humanly possible to be good at absolutely everything.
So what you're saying is that we need a personal chef. I need a personal chef, Paul. So we got to figure that out.
I need someone. Don't even get me down started with this. So.
Well, we probably should get to the question so we can actually dig into that instead of.
And I don't need to lecture or like tell you guys this. Most of you know this, but just reiterating, you can know everything, but unless you act on it, it just doesn't matter.
It's true.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, that's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, the very best ideas.
So, all right, let's play today's question, which, by the way, is now officially the longest question ever. And we have done you a favor. hopefully our editor will cut down the question. So anyway.
No, he will. Thanks for the question, John. By the way, guys, if you have a question, go to askdroneu.com. We appreciate every single one that we get. And we like to remind you guys that if you're thinking it, so are a lot of other people. So don't be afraid to get it in. Be the one that gets their question answered. They will appreciate it.
Hey guys, I want to first say thank you for everything that you do. You're really at the heart of how I got started into my business. So as Paul at least knows, I have a really good paying day job, and I've been doing drones on the side from that, which is obviously very time consuming, probably a couple years still away from feeling like the business was big enough where I could feasibly leave my day job and still make my family, you know, be able to pay our bills. So I wouldn't say that something crazy happened, but a very good potential opportunity was put in front of me. A guy in my area who probably is a top aerial photographer, but doing it old school with a plane, has approached me recently to discuss joining businesses together. Partnering would basically mean he would be able to add a new list of services for his clients, and it would allow me to be able to tap into all of his clients and potentially leave my day job sooner than I had planned on. So I guess here's my question. What are some of the ideas for how to essentially merge two businesses but not lose the identity of either business? And then also, what's a way to help so that both businesses have a way out of the agreement if something goes wrong or doesn't feel right? Thanks.
So there we have it, Paul. Our question asker, John, thank you, John, is contemplating combining his business with another business who sounds like is a very successful business and has been around for a long time. And it sounds like they would complement each other really, really well.
Stop. Why do all good relationships have to go into marriage right away? I really don't. Like, why do I have to get married to someone if I want to work with them? Do you marry everyone you want to work with? Hey, let's create a business together because we like working together. No, don't do that. I don't think that is the right way to do it.
Well, okay. I don't know that we have enough information to make that assessment. You very well may be right. What I think Paul is saying, that there are a lot of different ways to go about this. And for example, you might want to consider doing a joint venture there are formal joint ventures that you can put in place, that you have contracts that describe how that's going to work and who's going to do what and how you're going to merge activities, responsibilities, so that you can gain some economies of scale, right? Those are the kinds of things that you're going to want to gain as far as reasons why you would combine businesses. So let's talk about that. Why would you combine businesses? What do you think?
The way that I understand combining businesses is that you would only do it like essentially like a team. You only add people to the team if you can get more done, meaning you can be more successful together. That's the only reason that it makes sense. If you have one firm buying out another firm, I think that's great. But the one caveat I will tell people is, guys, you got to be really careful, because if you do this, are you looking to have some sort of guarantee? What are you bringing to the table? What unique value do you bring to the table? What do they bring to the table? And I'm going to be honest, I think it's a bad idea. No matter what, I think unless you are running, like DroneU, a $5 million business, and you're getting offers all the time like we are to buy the business, I think that it makes sense to do so in a strategic manner to make sure that you're still delivering the value to the customer. And you're not taking away from that to build a better business relationship. So, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is that for most people, I don't think it makes sense. For larger businesses, like if someone was to acquire, if a $100 million company wanted to acquire a $10 million company, there are obviously, you know, reasons that the buyer and that the seller see interest in that, you know, transaction. But this is your realm, Rob. This is your specialty. And another thing, guys, please don't take any of this, or let me rephrase that. Let me give the lawyer speak. do not take this as legal advice. You are ultimately in control of your business decisions. What you do is up to you. Obviously, you're seeking some help and trying to figure out which route and way to go. But understand, for those of you who are listening to this, every situation is different. And I will say personally, I have seen more businesses break up because people went into these business relationships with expectations that were unrealistic. And I think, you know, another really important part to talk about, Rob, and I hope you talk about this, is qualified investors. Because since the Obama administration, there's now what's called qualified investors, which means if you spend over $100,000 on buying any said asset of a business, you have to be a qualified investor, which means education, regulatory red tape, and some requirements to meet.
Yeah, I think that actually comes down to what kind of assets do you have. And you know, been a part of opportunities where they're telling you that you have to be a qualified investor. And basically all they say is check this box where you say that you are. Nobody ever confirms it or anything. But if anything ever happens, you need to know that you can't just check that box and say that you are when you're not, although people do it all the time. As it relates to this decision for John, I there's a couple things to think about. And you've asked in your question, like, how do I set it up such that if things go awry or we just grow apart or we want to go different directions, that we can separate things again? That's getting into what Paul is talking about. You're going to have to get attorneys involved. You're going to have to get accountants involved. The degree to which depends on the complexity of what you're trying to set up. But I would say no matter the simplicity of it, you're going to want an attorney involved. At some level, they're going to want to make sure the wording is set up correctly to protect both parties. And many people would even argue that you're going to each need a separate attorney. And I think any attorney that you go to that you try to get to work this out for both parties, my hunch, I'm not an attorney, I don't know what they would say, but I think they're probably going to say we need to have people on both sides, so to speak, to work through this and make sure everybody's interests are accounted for. So that's something that you're going to want to do to answer those kinds of questions, John. And I know people hate hearing that or they don't like hearing that because it's about spending money, but it's worth that time and that money to make sure that you do those things right. As far as whether or not it's a good idea, that is so circumstantial, that is so dependent on your situation, how you guys complement each other, those kinds of issues that Paul brought up. It's really, well, it's impossible for us to answer that. I think you really have to do sort of a pros and cons approach to something like this, where you're walking through and listing those out, and then you're making that decision as to, okay, I see all these benefits. There are these downsides. I definitely think the benefits outweigh the downsides. Again, economies of scale, maybe you save some money, you need fewer employees. You can get business through his channels. He can get business through your channels. But again, in many of those respects, I think we would argue that you could achieve those same benefits by simply doing some sort of even a project by project partnership or a trial joint venture, those kinds of things where you get your feet wet. See if you like working with each other. See if those symbiotic benefits that you're hoping for actually come about. And then a year, 2 years down the road, maybe at that point you start looking at a more formal partnership if things go the way that you think they will. For me, I think I would be very hesitant to just jump into that kind of a merging of businesses right off the bat. And I understand John's position too. He's trying to expedite the timeline for getting out of his day job.
But should you ever expedite time, meaning should you ever rush into decisions? Is it smart to ever rush into decisions, period, in a general sense?
No, of course not. And I don't think that that's what's going on here. I don't think John's rushing into it. But I understand what you're saying as well. And so, John, I don't know. You can tell we're hesitant about telling you to go do this. But again, we don't know all the circumstances.
We don't. And I would say there is nothing stopping you from creating an MOU? Right. Memorandum of Mutual Understanding.
Just a memorandum of understanding, which is going to lead to some sort of a joint venture, more of a contractual relationship of some sort.
That's the word that a lot of the internet marketers use. The hip, hyped up internet marketers are always like, oh, I would love to JV with you. And I'm like,
right.
Junior varsity? What the hell are you talking
like,
about?
I'm varsity, baby.
Yeah, like, step up your game, buddy. But no, in fact, one of those JP, I forget his last name, that internet marketer JP, he's friends with one of the people I shot that Feng Shui Planet commercial with. Mm. And they're like, we want a joint venture with Drone U so bad. And I'm like, yeah. If you didn't call my phone so many times, I would have set it up already.
You know, a couple of other things to consider going into a full merger is no matter what's said up front about control, you're giving up some control. And making decisions with more than one person. So if you're not in a situation where you have, and we've experienced this, if we're going to kind of be honest, right?
Well, kind of. We're going to be honest.
There have been some challenges.
We fought.
Paul's mean.
He gave me a black eye. I beat that up.
In all seriousness, making decisions with two people is going to be much more difficult than you making the decisions yourself.
What now, about three
again,
people, Rob.
I understand. He's talking about two, I presume. Now, you have the benefit of that added perspective, that added experience, that added network. Get all that. But again, you've got to evaluate, is all of that going to be worth it? You know, another thing, it maybe sort of a an analogy or even a metaphor is that if you're going to build a business, you have to decide at some point, are we going to bring in investment dollars to grow this or are we going to bootstrap it? And that's a really important analysis because those paths are so different in terms of what happens to profits, who makes decisions, whose ideas are at the forefront of progress. All those kinds of things play into that kind of a decision. And this is kind of a similar thing where you can't predict the future, but you really need to be aware of how different your paradigm would be in this kind of a partnership versus doing it yourself and working together when you can. So starting to beat that point to death, I think that is pretty clear where we stand. If you have follow-up questions on it, John, feel free to let us know. But I think we'll leave it there for now.
Good idea. And if you have a business question, go to askdroneu.com, upload that business question. There are a lot of them, but I challenge you to do something. If you ask a question and it's like, well, when is the right time to like jump out of my business and do this? Only you can answer that question because it's going to be up to you when you decide to make a leap, the jump, the leap of faith.
Wouldn't that be a great algorithm to create, though, if we could create a little piece of software where you just plug in like 12 pieces of data and it tells
here's
you.
Here's how I would do it.
Tells you on this date.
I would.
That's here, when you quit
how,
your other
this
business.
This is what I told Chris. I said, okay, what time of the year is it? Because, you know, you're going to make most of your money in your drone business in the summer. And unless you have other contracts going on the side, don't ever leave your job, your day job in the winter because you'll wake up to a harsh reality. Okay, how many drone jobs do you have coming in? How many people are you talking in your hopper? How many people or how many networking events do you have set up? And then, you know, what is your average monthly revenue and what do you absolutely have to make and how much money do you have set aside? Because anyone starting a business, you should have at least 18 months of money to not only support yourself, but the business too. I think that's really important. So, you know, going back to this, guys, if you have a question, understand that two things. Number one, decision is seriously the first step in moving forward. You've got to make the decision. You may know, but you've got to take action. And if you're like, if you're asking yourself all these questions, kick yourself in the face and be like, just do it. What do you have to fear? Okay. But other than fear itself. And I mean that because if you believe in yourself, I mean, there's this guy at Starbucks, the one down here on San Pedro. And I saw him for the third time. I never go to that Starbucks. I normally go to the one on Academy, but saw him for the third time. And he's like, yeah, I've been a barista for 10 years and I'm thinking about getting started in internet marketing. And I looked him straight in the eye and I was like, I believe you can do it. And he looked at me like, why would you say that with such conviction? And my only purpose was because if he believes that he can do it and he just stays tenacious, he will do it. And that's the formula. That's the secret. There was nothing else other than those two things.
Right.
And we're going to leave you with that. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.